Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, guys, I was thinking about today, I don't know if you've noticed this, there's a great, great need for more of God. I mean, I know that you've noticed it, but I mean, it's like, there's a huge need. You got to have more.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to come to a point of total desperation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just total desperation. And one thing that I've noticed is that there's something different about desperate people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've, you know, thought about it much, or but people that are desperate, there's something different about them. Now, I know that in America, it's hard to notice people that are desperate because they're so satisfied with all the things that they have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, it's hard to find someone that's desperate.
When you're real comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Yeah.
We live in a blessed land. There's abundance everywhere. It's hard. It's hard. But let me tell you, this is what the word desperate means. It means showing extreme urgency or intensity, especially because of great need or desire.
Wow.
Showing extreme urgency or intensity, especially because of great need or desire. It's a deep longing, a hopelessness sometimes. It's critical. It's urgent. They say, you know, it's my last resort. I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, you got to pause on that to think 1 second, to think that in America, it's really hard sometimes to find a desperate person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, in other countries, you can see them all over the place. They're desperate. They're desperate for the simple things that many of us mm-hmm. take for granted, like water, food.
Mm-hmm.
They're desperate. Desperation is a state in which loss of hope drives a person to struggle against circumstances with utter disregard to the consequences. I mean, think about that. This is how they define desperation. It's a state in which a loss of hope, they have no hope. I mean, it's done. Whatever I was trusting in, whatever I put my hope in, there is zero hope left in this. It's driving a person to struggle against the circumstances, whatever they're facing, sometimes without disregard to the consequences. Like, this is my last resort. It's my last resort. And when I think about people in the Bible who are desperate for God, I think about a few people come to mind, and certain characteristics come to mind. And why are we talking about this? I believe that you got to get to a point that you're desperate for God. I mean, if you want God to take you to a place that you've never been, you must be willing to do something you've never done.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the great sins of the church right now is this huge complacency. Sin will cause you to be very complacent, you know, very satisfied. I have enough of God. I know John 3:16, mm-hmm, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Got it, Jesus, the cross. And there's this complacency, but there isn't a holy desperation,
right,
a longing and a passion that says, listen, I'm not satisfied with, you know, life. I'm not just satisfied with the home. I'm not just satisfied. Oftentimes, people get caught up in the blessing that they totally forget about the blesser, God. They forget. God didn't bless us so that we can forget about him. He blesses us, and it should stir up deep appreciation and adoration for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for us to say, thanks for the blessing, got it, and now be enamored with the blessing, the mm-hmm. job, the car, the house, the spouse,
yeah,
the money, the stuff, the boats, the whatever it is. And right now, there's no, it's like desperation is gone. And so it's just status quo.
Mm.
You know, just living normal lives and kind of fit God in, compartmentalize him, and you know, read the word of God here and there, and that's a good idea, and I can catch my everything I need on my phone. It's just satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about certain people and I think about desperation, they're talking about having God move in your life. I think about a person in the Bible named Bartimaeus. He's called blind Bartimaeus in the scriptures, but Bartimaeus was a man who had desperation.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about it in Mark 10 that basically it says in verse 46, they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. So there was just this group, this whole following, a group of people were leaving with Jesus. Jesus was passing through. And the Word of God says that a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting on the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Exclamation point. Don't want to scream. Mm. But many rebuked him and told him, "Shh, shh, be quiet." And he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" So Jesus stopped and said, and called him. And so they called the blind man. "Cheer up, get on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And then Jesus tells him, "Listen, your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. See, blind Bartimaeus had a need. He was desperate. Mm. See, desperate people, one of the characteristics about desperate people is that they don't get caught up in what other people have to say about them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dignified folks are like, "You are making a scene.
Yeah, right.
We are with Jesus right now." You know, do you know how lucky we are right now to be walking with Jesus? You, blind Bartimaeus, I will hook you up later, but let Jesus pass through. He's no. I'm not gonna be denied.
Yeah, and that's, and you think about it, it's that holy hunger, that desperation. That's when you see those miracles. That's when you see Jesus responding like that. It's because Jesus responds in the hunger. Jesus responds where people are desperate for him.
Mm-hmm.
He screams.
Right.
Right.
"Jesus, have mercy on me." And God responds, and he blesses him and he heals him. But the characteristic here is that he was humble.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about what other people were thinking about him. He didn't care what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care what he had to do. See, desperate people do what they have to do.
That's right.
And oftentimes people say, "Well, I'm desperate. I'm desperate." Are you really? Are you really? Let me tell you something. We're going to continue this in the extra hour some more. But we're talking about desperation. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time where the church needs to be desperate for God, it's today. It's today because we need a move of God, but you can't have a move of God apart from God. You can't have a move of God if you're not even crying out for God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a move of God if you don't know the reality of where your life presently is. And if you're not careful, it's so easy for people to be complacent, so easy for people to fall just right in the backside and just kick their feet up, and there's no hunger, there's no passion, there's no desire. But blind Bartimaeus stepped up to the plate, and he's screaming, and he's yelling, and he's saying, "I need to see. My need for to be touched right now, my body's so great. I need to see, and I'm going to do what I have to do." And he understood that Jesus was the one that could do it. So he had no pride.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing that would restrain him in a time of his greatest hour. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this. But I'm telling you, we need a move of God. But we can't have a move of God without being desperate for God himself. How desperate are you? And we said how it's really hard in America to find somebody that's desperate. We live in the most blessed country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European. And so it's so hard to find desperation. And people will tell you, "Well, I'm desperate. I'm desperate." You ever heard someone say, "I'm so hungry.
Mm.
I'm starving.
Right.
Oh, I'm so hungry, I'll eat anything right now. I can eat a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat a pig. I'm starving.
Yeah. Well, they look like they have.
Well, then somebody brings them some broccoli. Mm-hmm. You're hungry? Right. Let me get you something real quick. You're hungry, right? Let me get you something. And put some broccoli on the table. Oh, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you desperate? You told me you were desperate. You told me you were hungry.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. It's hot out here. I'm thirsty. It's 100 degrees and they're sweating. Let me get you some water. I want a Coke. You ain't got a Coke? You didn't have a Gatorade? You don't have... I want a Coke. All you have is this water stuff? No flavor? But you say you was hungry.
Mm.
I need a job.
Mm.
Can't pay the bills. Things are getting tight. Need a job. You help them get a job. But then they say, well, I don't want that job.
Mm-mm.
I don't want that job. It's amazing to me that, see, desperate people that are really looking for work, that's how you know someone's willing looking for work.
They'll do anything.
They will do anything.
Reminds me of that guy that came to your house that day.
Yeah.
Wanting them, just looking for work.
Yeah.
He didn't even know what it was.
Didn't care.
But I'll work for you.
Didn't care what it was.
And that's something? Totally forgot about that.
Begged.
Yeah. I was coming, leaving my house. I had to make an appointment. So I'm, you know, racing out to my car. And some guy walks up to me and says, I need some work. Do you need your lawn cut? And I said, well, I mean, I do. But, you know, I was in a hurry. I had to make this appointment. I didn't have a lawnmower. I didn't know the man. You know, I was kind of caught off guard, and I really didn't have the time to really talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, you know, I do, but that's okay. You know, I was trying to let the guy know politely that I didn't need his services at that moment. You know, had I had more time, maybe I would talk to him. This man persisted. He said, sir, I'm out of work. He said, I will do anything. He said, I'll rake your grass. I'll cut your lawn. Whatever you want, I'll do a really good job for you. I promise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And man, something just went out to me. I saw that man's, listen, desperation has a look.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that look. I said, look, I have met an appointment. I can't do that, you know. I'll give you some money now. So I told him, I'll give you some money now. You just come back tomorrow morning and do the job.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'll do it. I'll be here. I gave him the money, paid him ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Just left, you know, on my way.
He didn't really think he'd come back, really.
I wasn't sure. Didn't think about it, but I said, you know, he needed the money. Mm-hmm. He needed the money, so I just gave him the money and said, if he came back, whatever. If not, I just considered, you know, whatever, an offering of blessing. He came back the next morning at the time I told him to. Mm-hmm. Knocked on the door.
But didn't he come up to you before he even left and just saying, "What time do you want me to be there? Because I want to work for this."
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he came that morning. And I was ready to, you know, help him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, you know, ready to go. Mm-hmm. Ready to go. And he did a great job. And I said, wow, that's desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's desperate. But you're not desperate. You're not desperate if you're saying that you need work and you're not willing to do anything. Not whether you're capable. Not, what, you know, do you have the education? We're not talking about qualifications. We're talking about a willingness. A willingness. You know, when... Listen, if you're thirsty, if you're really, really thirsty, desperation will cause a thirsty man, a thirsty woman to drink dirty water because they're totally desperate for something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go past whatever it is that's going to, you know, would hinder you because you're desperate.
Yeah.
You're desperate. You're going to drink that dirty water and say, give me that water because I need some sort of, you know, we'll pray over it and hope there's nothing there. But I gotta drink this water because I'm about to pass out. I'm dehydrated out here. I'm desperate. And so we really have to understand what desperation means. What does it really mean? Because people throw words flippantly out there and they don't know.
Yeah.
When we found out with blind Bartimaeus that he was desperate. His state of being desperate, you know, he had no hindrances. And desperate people, there's certain characteristics. They have the look, the desperate look, right? They have a characteristic that they're humble. They're willing to. This man was humble. He told me he was, he's a welder. He was a welder. He had skill. I mean, he had a skill. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't know how to do anything. But nothing was beneath him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it wasn't beneath Bartimaeus to be shouting, probably acting all unruly. Well, there's a whole bunch of people trying to act all right. You can imagine around Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus is here, blind Bartimaeus.
Yeah, chill out, dude. You're embarrassing me.
You're making a scene, bro. you're cutting up again, blind Bartimaeus.
I can't take him anywhere.
I promise I will hook you up, man. But you... And then stop Bartimaeus.
Mm-mm, he didn't care.
He said, I need a touch. Yeah. I need God. I think about the Canaanite woman.
Mm.
I think about the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. And what was amazing about this is that here's this woman that basically was suffering. And she had great need. And so in verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman came from that vicinity, and she came to him crying out. Desperation. There's an inner cry for a person that's desperate. It's another characteristic. There's an inner cry. A cry that shouts louder than any voice can shout. It's an inner cry. But she was crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me! Exclamation point. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession. And Jesus did not answer, didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. A lot of these disciples are like, mm-hmm. Where's the compassion, brothers? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, they were
compassion.
Being discipled at the moment. They were in, they were in process.
They weren't apostles yet.
They weren't apostles yet. They were in process. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Verse 24, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman came and knelt before him. See, desperation, humility, lower still. She knelt down before him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible doesn't say that she whispers. I mean, there's an exclamation point. But this is what it says that she said. Lord, help me. I don't want to hear about this lost sheep of Israel stuff. I need help. With a P. Say help. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. I mean, listen. A prideful person would be like, look, I came to Jesus. They told me about him.
But he's just gone a little bit too far.
A dog.
Who does he think he's talking to?
I mean, come on. All right. I'm going to get up off this floor right here.
That's when you find out how bad you really want it.
That's
you
right.
Go past that moment.
She says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And you're like, oh, my God. Goodness.
Wow.
There's something about a desperate person that compels you to say, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
What? How can I help you? Then Jesus answered the woman, you have great faith. Your request has been granted. And her daughter was healed that very hour. We're talking about desperation, talking about being desperate for God. We're talking about being desperate for a move of the Lord, but you're not going to have a move of God unless you're desperate for God.
Mm-hmm.
She was desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a crumb.
Yeah.
Don't give me just give me a crumb.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a crumb. And then I think about the woman that had an issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's just little things that I've just noticed. People that I've noticed in the Bible
right. That
were desperate. I mean, because I know in America it's hard to find someone that's desperate, so we'll just go biblical here.
Yeah.
We'll find some reference.
That's right.
But the woman with the issue of blood, she'd been suffering for 12 years with this issue. There's a crowd of people. Jesus is on on the move. There's crowds of people all over the place. They're pressing up against him. And she reaches out to him and touches him. And literally, Jesus feels virtue. Virtue come from out of his body. And he looks at his disciples and says, who touched me?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the disciples says, Jesus, there's people
everybody's
everywhere.
Touching you.
Everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? Who touched you? He said, no. Who touched me? See, the inner cry, the desperation that was on the inside of her mm-hmm. touched what was on the inside of him.
That's right.
And that desperation drew out what Jesus had in him that she needed in her. She needed a touch from God. But you can imagine how this woman, I mean, she had an issue with blood. I mean, this is blood here. It's wet. It's noticeable. It probably doesn't smell good. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she didn't come in and make a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, got up in there, unnoticed, yeah. got low. Yeah.
In Jewish culture at that point, that was a no-no. I mean, you know, you're unclean.
Yeah.
You better get away from everybody.
Yeah.
But what's powerful about that, too, is like there was such a crowd around him that they were pressing so much. But you think about it, she came up behind him. She was kneeling in that humility. And of all of that, all the crowd that was around him, she was the only one that got touched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like who's going to stand out with that desperation amidst the crowd? And what's even the powerful about that is like, think about the doctors of all the people that she went to of all the years of her sickness, but Jesus called her daughter
mm-hmm.
because he responds to that hunger. He responded to that desperation, like you're saying.
She reaches out.
Yeah.
And she says, if I could just touch the cloak, if I could just touch his garment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just. Willing to go past, and we talked about the definition of desperation is a state in which a loss of hope drives a person to struggle against circumstances with utter disregard for the consequences. Like you were saying earlier, Pat, she's like, I'm not even supposed to be out in public right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to contaminate somebody.
She took a big chance.
But her desperation calls her to leap out in faith. You would say risk, but we would say faith.
Mm-hmm.
To say, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it. But that's because there wasn't a hope in the doctors.
Mm-mm.
And the thing about living in America right now is that believers and people alike have so many places to hang their hope on. They hang their hope on the doctors. They hang their hope on the medicine. They hang their hope on the job.
Mm-hmm.
They hang their hope on the home. They hang their hope on the fact that they've got credit cards. They hang the hope that there's a fitness center and they're in good health and they're eating right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many places that they hang their hope that there's no need to be desperate. There's no need to have a real revelation of really the state that you're actually in.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to wake up. I mean, Revelation talks about Revelation 3 about a spiritual condition. And in Revelation 3 talks about the church of Laodicea. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He talks about the church. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But then he goes on to say this in verse 17. It says, you say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm.
And I counsel you to buy gold from me refined by the fire so that you can really become rich.
Mm.
I mean, there's such a great deception to think that everything's all right, I'm okay, status quo, I'll have a little bit of God, a little bit of the world. Listen, look at the state we're in this country. We need to peel back our eyelids. We need to wake up. We need to see what is happening. 50-plus children have been murdered, not killed, murdered in abortions. You look at what's happening all across the land. God's being taken out of everything. Evil's being called good. Good's being called evil. Listen, we're living in desperate times. We're living in hopeless times. If you're putting your hope in anywhere else, let me tell you something. These are hopeless times without God.
That's right.
And I think about this hymn that was written by Edward Mote many years ago, and I actually thought about this morning, but the song is called My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Mm. You may be familiar with it, but the song starts out by saying, or the hymn song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I mean, this song is a classic today. It's a hymn that's been sung amongst many believers. But do we really understand the power of these words, and do we really have the revelation? Is your hope today really built on nothing less? Listen, the only thing that we have, the only thing that's real, the only thing that lasts forever and eternity is Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. See, we have no righteousness of our own. Mm. Listen, the entrance to heaven is not going to be that we're a good person. You know, we tried harder. Jesus is love. It's going to be that, listen, we were bought by the blood of the Lamb. It's because we have his right. We don't have any righteousness of our own. It's his righteousness. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that we have. And if you're putting your hope and your trust in anywhere else, you're going to be hopeless. Because whatever you're trusting in eventually is going to fall out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's become an idol. Because you've lifted up to the place higher than God. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like running hard after the Lord. There's nothing like chasing hard after. We talked about being in pursuit of God, intimacy with the Lord, communion with him. Are you desperate today? You know if you're desperate. There's a humility inside of you that says, I want more of God. I'm not satisfied with what I have, and I'm willing to do what I have to do. I'm willing to go where I have to go. I'm willing to listen to what I have to listen to. I'm willing. The condition of your heart is ready. Another characteristic of a desperate person, if you're desperate for God, you understand that there's an urgency, there's a criticalness. There is an understanding that there's not much time.
Yeah.
Because I'm desperate. I can't live in this present state anymore. And it's scary to be comfortable when, in fact, your true conditions of your life should cause you to say, I'm desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would be concerned of someone who spent countless hours in the desert, who is thirsty, physically thirsty. You can see it on their body. They're drenched with sweat. And you know they haven't drunk any water. And mm-hmm. they're not even saying they're thirsty.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this concerns me here. Because it's been 10 hours and you haven't drunk anything. And we've been sitting out here for the 100-degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
And you're drenched with sweat. I mean, you look dehydrated. I'm fine. In the spiritual realm, how many believers are walking around totally dehydrated in their spiritual life?
And don't even know it.
Walking, you know, bent over, breathing hard, drenched.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's sticking on them. Everything's fine. Everything's good.
I'm good.
No, you're not good. You're spiritually dehydrated. You're going down.
Mm-hmm.
You should be desperate for the living water. You should be desperate for the water that doesn't run dry. You should be desperate for Jesus right now. We're talking about characteristics of a desperate person. A desperate person is willing to persevere past the struggle. I think about the sinful woman who came to anoint Jesus. And Jesus is hanging out with a Pharisee at his house. They're kind of just, you know, hanging out, having dinner. And she shows up on the scene, and she comes with an alabaster jar.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 36, it says, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. See, a desperate person is not concerned about how they look. I mean, you read further on in this chapter, the Pharisee was actually judging her, if judging Jesus, if he really knew who she was. She had lived a sinful life, who was touching him. She knew what she had done wrong. She knew before God what had happened, how she failed him. But she heard when Jesus was there.
That's right.
And that desperation, she was tired of probably being living a shameful life, being shamed, being ridiculed, being looked down at. She said, I'm willing to persevere. I'm willing to go past my circumstance. I'm willing to look past what everyone has to say about me. And I'm going to go to Jesus myself. And she got low. She started crying at his feet. She brought him an offering. She said, I'm desperate. And she felt broken before God. See, desperate people are broken before God. They don't have too many answers. They don't try to lecture others or lecture God. They say, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. God, if you don't show up, it's not going to, this is not going to be good. I mean, I think about Moses, and Moses says, listen, if you don't go, I'm not going. You got to go with us. You got to go with us. I think about that song from Morningstar Ministries, that everything else has to go. I gotta have God. You gotta come to the point in your life, everything's gotta go. It doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter. Listen, if you only knew you had a month left to live, would it matter? Would it matter? We should live with that stamped on our forehead. We should have eternity stamped on our forehead. What matters is running hard after the Lord. It's having a desperate heart that says, I'm willing to go and chase after you. And another characteristic is willing to pay the personal costs. See, a desperate person understands that there's costs with this. You know, I'm desperate, the water looks nasty, but hey, you know, I got to drink it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hungry. It's not the best thing. It's not going to taste good, but I'm starving. I'm going to eat. And you think about, you hear survival stories of people that are out there that says, you ate a squirrel? You ate a what?
Yeah.
An armadillo? What did you eat?
You ate a cricket?
Yeah. You ate a bug?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you, oh, you would eat one too if you were hungry.
Mm-hmm. Get to that place.
You know, why do we need to get to that place and have all these things happen to us? Why don't we kind of put ourselves in that place and that need of God?
Mm-hmm.
But desperate people, hungry people that are trying to survive, they'll eat anything.
Right.
They're starving.
Yeah.
In some cases, people have ate other people. That's a whole other story. But think about that. I mean, they've eaten animals. They've eaten stuff that they've never even would have eaten.
Mm-hmm.
But they're desperate. I think about the hiker who got trapped, and they made a movie about him. But it's a true story. He got trapped in one of these canyons.
Mm-hmm.
He was by himself. He slipped down, and he got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many days exactly it was, but it was maybe like 48 hours. I'm not exactly sure. But his arm was pinned in this cave. He couldn't scream, no cell phone, no nothing. He was left to die.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something on the inside of him. He said, I want to live. I'm desperate. I got to live. He cut his arm off. So that he can escape. And guess what? They found him. And he lived to tell the story. Mm-hmm. They made a movie about this man's life.
Wow.
But he was desperate. Listen, when you're desperate, you're going to start cutting things out of your life that needs to be cut out. That arm, as good as it was at that particular time, it was stopping him, going to kill him because he couldn't get anything to drink. I mean, he was trying to, you should hear him tell the story. He was putting things out with one arm to, you know, to gather water and drink. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was desperate. He was desperate. Question is, are you desperate for God that way? Are you desperate for God that he's all you have? He's all you need. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit. On my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Everything else is sinking sand. You know, another characteristic, we talked about it earlier, is that inner cry. Is that, that brokenness, that inner cry that says, man, I gotta have more. I gotta have more. Man, we're living in so much serious, you know, times right now. We need a move of God. We need God to touch our nation. We need God to touch our children. 41% of all pregnancies in New York end in abortion. You know what that number is? That means for every 10 pregnant women, 4 of them are going to have an abortion.
Mm.
4 out of 10. Wow. That's what that means just in New York. We don't think we need God. But listen, if we need God in our country, we need God in our cities, we need God in our states, in our communities, in our families, we need God in our own personal life. We talked about one of the top three on the torch, and it starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with each of us individually saying, have I just become satisfied with God? Am I at a comfortable place with God? Or do I want more? Do I want more? And the last characteristic, and I'm sure there's more, and the last one we're going to share today with you, is that a desperate person is in tune with the reality of their need. See, a desperate person truly understands they're hungry, that if I don't eat something, if I don't eat something in the next little bit, anything, bug, you know, grass, whatever, if I don't get something inside of me, I'm going to die. The desperate person who's thirsty says, listen, if I don't drink whatever there is to drink,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to die. A desperate person says that if they're in, you know, inclement weather, that their body can't, they'll go into places that they would be terrified to go into because they realize that if I stay out here in the elements, if I stay here in the elements, I'm going to freeze to death. I've got to go in the cave. I've got to go wherever there is. And they'll put themselves in places that they were terrified. They don't know if there's bats there, there's wild animals, but they got to get out of the elements because if they stay in the elements, they're going to die. They're in tune with reality. And the question is for you and for me, are we in tune with reality today? Are we in tune with where we are in God?
Mm-hmm.
I think about when God tells Adam, where are you in Genesis?
Right.
I don't think that God lost track of where mm-hmm. Adam was.
No.
But I just for some reason, I don't think that God lost track. But I think that God wanted to help Adam and let Adam process, where are you? A clue that the right answer is not here on 30th block of the garden. He wasn't looking for a physical location.
No.
Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you today? Let me tell you something. That God moves in hunger. He moves in the strong passion and desire. He gives an invitation in Isaiah, all those who are thirsty, come and drink. Come drink from the fountain. Come drink from the living water. But the question is, are you thirsty? In Proverbs, he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. See, the desperate person says, listen, I don't eat white creamy stuff, but I'm hungry, so give me some of that white creamy stuff.
Give me some of them grits.
Give me some of them grits. Give me some of that, you know, ranch, whatever. You know, I just
put some mayonnaise on it.
Put some mayonnaise on it because I'm hungry. Are you hungry today?
Mm.
Let me tell you, God wants to come and invade your world. He wants to turn it upside down. And he wants you to be engaged in an awesome, amazing, intimate relationship with him. He wants you to walk with him and talk with him and interact with him. Listen, we only have moments left on earth. Life is but a vapor is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying the world is nothing. I'm saying that who knows tomorrow? I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that says, you know, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. Mm-hmm. All you have is today. Mm-hmm. That's all we have is today. Let me tell you something. Make your plan today. Say, God, I'm going to do whatever I have to do in my life. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to scrape all this stuff off of my plate that's made me full and just lethargic. And I'm going to cut out the entertainment. I'm going to cut out the fluff. I'm going to cut out just all the social media. Whatever it is that's stealing you away from God, that's made you just be complacent in your walk. Listen, if it's sin, get the sin out your life and say, God, I want to be desperate. Desperate people get touched from God. And people that get touched by God are never, ever, ever the same.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.